Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Lord, thank you for being such a good, good God to us. We come before you. We praise your name. We lift you up. And we just ask that you be with us during this time of worship. Receive our praises. Open our hearts that we may be changed and transformed by the preaching and teaching of God's word. And bless Pastor Cal as he brings that to us. We love you, Lord. It is in Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said.
Amen. Please be seated if you can. Isn't God good?
All the time.
All the time. Amen. We are entering into a new, we're sticking with our theme of more in 24, an open door in 24. But I want to focus the next few Sundays kind of on the heels of Dwight's witnessing class. I want to focus on what we would call personal evangelism, witnessing, sharing our faith, what we used to call soul winning. And so there's going to be a sermon series on that for the next four Sundays, and I hope you'll be here for all of those. And having said that, let me say this. Did you know if you're a believer, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, God every single day sets up divine appointments for you? Did you know that? I mean, he gives us divine encounters. Sometimes we hit the nail on the head. Sometimes we miss them. Sometimes we neglect them. But just the same, every day God gives us divine encounters, appointments, whatever you want to call that, in essence, that we might share the Lord with them. The first song we sang, people need the Lord. People really do need Jesus. And so this is my favorite passage in the New Testament when it comes to personal evangelism, soul winning. We're in Acts chapter 8 this morning. And if you've got a Bible, you can find Acts chapter 8 this morning. We're going to start there at verse 26. But in this passage of Scripture, you've got a man by the name of Philip, who is a deacon and winds up being an evangelist. And then you've got an angel. And then you've got a man from Ethiopia. And so in this divine drama, you see every single element of soul winning. You see every single element of personal evangelism, of witnessing. And I love it. Now, the outline that I'm using today belongs to Dr. Jerry Vines. And I heard him preach out of this passage of Scripture, and it's a great outline. And so I had a doctoral class with him, and he said, guys, if I'm saying anything or I've got a sermon or anything that you like and you want to use it, if my bullet fits your gun, go ahead and shoot. So we're going to fire this morning, all right? So I've entitled the message, though, Stop the Chariot. Stop the Chariot. Say that with me.
Stop.
We're going to come back to that at the end of the message. So remember that. Let's stand as we, if you can, if you can honor. We've been up and down like yo-yos, but let's honor God's word one more time today. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. How many of you know where Gaza is? This is desert. So he, Philip, arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. Father, take your word this morning. Apply it to our lives. Teach us truth. Share with us this morning about how we are supposed to share. It's in Jesus' great big name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Stop the chariot. By the way, let me just say this. The reason I'm in black today is I'm going to our campus church for their 103rd anniversary. Now, I'm not going to a funeral, but we're going to a celebration. And so I thought I might ought to look halfway decent. My mom raised me to wear a suit every day on Sunday. Anyways, y'all get what I'm saying? And so we're gonna be at our campus church at 11 o'clock. Dr. Rick Stevens is going to be doing the preaching. They're celebrating 103 years as a church. And last night they had a Holy Ghost heaven sent, I mean spirit toe tapping, spirit filled service. That singing group that Pastor Derek had in was off the chain, weren't they, Greg Lee? Yeah, they were wonderful. So it's going to be a great day. It's already a great day. Ronnie Fuller, isn't it a great day? Amen. God touched this brother. He's supposed to have surgery this week on his back. He showed up for surgery this week, and they did an MRI, and the doc said, "You don't need any surgery. Your back's great." Give God some great praise today. Hallelujah. All right. I guess I better get busy preaching here. Here's the first thing that God's looking for in these divine appointments, in these divine encounters that He gives us. He's looking for prompt soul winners. A prompt soul winner. Say that with me. A prompt soul winner. Again, a soul winner is somebody, is he or she that's sharing his or her faith, okay, on a regular basis. So, what we've got here is the deacon Philip, and then we've got an angel. Teddy, that's an unusual combination, a deacon and an angel, amen? And y'all, I'm just kidding. Good grief. Anyways, and the angel has a plan. He has a divine appointment from God for Philip. And he says, "So Philip, arise and go. And I want you to go south on that road south out of Jerusalem." They call that the Gaza Strip. It is some of the most deserted, dry, humid areas on the planet. I mean, it is a wilderness type thing. And that road leads to Gaza. And so Philip didn't even know where he was going, except for the directions that the angel said. And what did Philip do? He got up and went. You know what a soul winner is? He's obedient. She's obedient. Philip just got up and went. Notice what Philip didn't say. "Well, wait a minute now. I think we better form a committee on this. Or we better pass this by the deacon body. Or maybe we ought to vote on this." Y'all, I heard about it. This is a true story. I heard about a church down in Georgia several years ago that voted on whether or not to do a visitation program. We don't vote on the commands of Jesus. We just go out and get up and do it. Philip got up and went, and it's high time the church got up and went. And so Philip gets up and he heads for this divine appointment, some one-on-one duty, some desert duty, if you will. And so he doesn't know exactly where he's going or who he's going to talk to, but he is just obedient to what the Spirit's telling him to do. How many times has God laid somebody on your heart? When God lays somebody on your heart, you better go get them. You better go find them. Because that's your divine appointment for that day. Now, I also want you to see this. Now, I don't have time to go into all of it, but when you go back earlier in chapter 8 in verse 4 through verse 8, Philip was in Samaria. And he's in Holy Ghost, foot stomping, snot slinging revival. I mean, people in Samaria, he's doing the preaching, and people are falling out of the trees to get saved. I mean, they're getting saved everywhere. He's in revival. And yet God wants Philip to leave the revival and go south on this desert road. Doesn't that sound strange? Why would God call him to leave, I mean, Holy Ghost revival for some desert duty down on the road that leads to Gaza? Because God's got a better plan than we do. He's got a bigger purpose than we can even understand. He's working behind the scenes. And so Philip just got up and went and did what God called him to do. And then a soul winner, a prompt soul winner, is not only obedient, he or she is observant. Now, the scriptures tell us that he's on this desert road that leads south to Gaza. And don't you know Philip's just looking? I'm wondering who God wants me to speak to. I'm wondering when this divine encounter is going to take place. And all of a sudden he sees this cloud of dust off in the distance. And it's a caravan. And then he notices that there's a covered chariot in the middle of this caravan. And he says, that's it. And he makes haste to get down to that chariot for this divine appointment that God has for him. And let me just tell you, brothers and sisters, lost people are everywhere. All we've got to do is open our eyes and be observant as to what God's doing. There was a shoe salesman that had been hired by a particular company to go sell shoes in Africa. And so this cat gets over there and he's trying to sell shoes. And 2 weeks later, he emails headquarters back here in the States and he says, man, I can't sell any shoes here. People don't even wear shoes over here. Send me my check. I'm out of here. Well, they hired another salesman. And this guy gets over to Africa and 2 weeks later, he sends them an email. And his email was a little bit different. He said, send me more shoes. There are prospects everywhere. Did y'all get that? Quit sitting there like a stone then, all right? There are prospects everywhere. All we've got to do is get our eyes open, our spiritual eyes open, and God will just start putting people in your path. He'll do it. And before you leave in the morning, as a matter of fact, ask God to do that. And you know what? He will. And so all God's looking for at Second Mile this morning are some prompt soul winners, some men and women who'll just be obedient. Jesus said, you shall be my witnesses. That's what he said. Soul winners. Soul winners. Sharing our faith. We tend to forget this. We say we believe in hell. I don't think we believe in hell anymore. Because if we really did, we'd be trying to rescue people from going there. All right, every time God's got a prompt soul winner, he's got a prepared sinner. Now, these verses that I've just read are just amazing. Look at verse 30 now. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. Now, anytime God's got a divine encounter for you, anytime he's got a prompt soul winner, he's got a prepared sinner. You can just mark it down. And so Philip runs to this caravan, to this covered chariot. And this Ethiopian eunuch is a man of wealth. He's the secretary of treasury for Ethiopia. Wealthy. This is a rich man. Can't you just see him traveling down that road in that Egyptian convertible and wearing those Gucci shoes? When you're reading the Bible, man, put yourself in there. It'll help your Bible study. It will. And so he runs, and this cat is not only, he's a man of influence. He's not only rich, he's respectable, he's responsible. He's got everything but the right thing. I don't care how respectable, how responsible, how rich, how influential you are. If you don't have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're lost and on your way to a devil's hell. We need to remember that. Good works don't save you. I have people tell me this all the time. Oh, I'm a good person. I've done a lot of good things. Surely this good God's going to let me into heaven. What you need is not your righteousness, but His. And you only get that by grace through faith. And so this fella is, he's respectable. He's responsible. He's rich. But he's also religious. Now, this Ethiopian was a man who, how do I say this? He's probably a God-fearer, a Gentile proselyte. He's heard all about the great God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I mean, he's from down south. He's from down there around Egypt, Africa. And don't you know, he'd heard about how Moses led the captives out of Egypt and how they had crossed the Red Sea supernaturally and how God had drowned the Egyptian army in the Red Sea. And he'd heard all about these great stories. And so this is a man looking for God. And guess where he was going? To the most religious city in the entire world, Jerusalem. Jerusalem. And so the closer this caravan gets to the holy city, can you just imagine the excitement in his heart? He's finally going to get what he really needs. He wants to meet. He wants to meet God. He wants to know God. And can you imagine going through that eastern gate with that caravan? And there's the priest and the great temple of Herod and the sacrificial systems going on and he experiences everything. But sadly, the scripture said, and he was returning. He went to Jerusalem looking for living water and came away thirsty. He's on the road to find God and now he's back on the road to Gaza. He didn't find the Lord. You know what religion will do for you? Listen to me. Religion will leave you dead, dry, and defeated. Religion will not change you. Religion will not save you. Jerusalem was the most religious city. Still is. But religion won't help you. Only a relationship with Christ will help you. You know what I want? Hallelujah. Oh, my goodness, there's somebody clapping in a Baptist church. Here's what I want people to... When people come here, not this isn't Jerusalem, but when people come to Second Mile, you know what I want them to experience? I want them to sense and experience the presence of Almighty God. I want them to sense the power of God here. Usually there's two experiences when you go to a church. You either fry or you freeze. You go in one church and I mean anything happens. Everything's good. You know, everything, you'll fry. Wildfire. But the other type of church is like walking into a city morgue. I want something a little bit in between. When people come in here, I want people to sense the power and the presence of Almighty God. I want them to hear passionate, spirit-filled music and worship. I want them to experience expository preaching and teaching. I want them to hear the passion-filled prayers of the saints. I want them to rub elbows with the fellowship of believers. I want them to experience the presence of God up in this place. Not religion. Religion will leave you dead. And sadly, this Ethiopian was going back where he came out of Jerusalem the way he went in. There was no change. And he's still looking for God. But notice that this man is also receptive. Verse 30 says, Philip saw the Ethiopian and he ran to him. How many of us are running to our divine appointments? How many of us are running to share our faith with others? What a blessing this evangelist is. And then when he gets there, Philip understands God's already at work. He's reading his Bible. You'd be amazed what God's doing in somebody's life if you just be obedient and be observant. God's working and he's preparing. It's not God's will that any might perish, but that all might come to repentance. That's what God wants. He prepared hell for the devil and his angels, not for us. And he went to the extreme so that we wouldn't have to go. Hello? And anytime God's got a prompt soul winner, prepared sinner, he always uses a powerful scripture. Woo! Watch this. Look at verse 32. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
It gets real good now. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. Well, let me back up. I'm sorry, y'all. Verse 32, the place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask of you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, let's just park right there. We'll come back and finish that, the rest of that up. Philip gets to the chariot and finds out that the Ethiopian is reading the Bible. Now, he didn't have the entire Bible like we do today, but he's reading out of Isaiah. This is a quotation from Isaiah 53. And did you all know the clearest picture that we have in the Old Testament of Christ paying the price for our sins on Calvary is Isaiah 53. And maybe Psalm 22. And so the Ethiopian, you know, he says, I'm reading this, but who is the prophet talking about? I need somebody to help me understand. He said, who is he? Is the prophet talking about himself? Is Isaiah talking about himself? Is he talking about someone else? Who is he? And that is the question today. Who is Jesus? Who is this one who the scripture proclaims? Who is this one who forgives sin? Who is this one who cleanses and makes whole? Who is this one who saves? There's no other name that qualifies. His name is Jesus. And hallelujah, I want to tell you, if you're looking for Jesus, you'll find him right here. He is the written word and the living word. He's on every page. He's in every chapter. He's in every book. He's in both testaments. It's a hymn book. It's all about him. It's history because it's his story. Hallelujah. And so if you want to know Jesus, get in the Bible. You want to know about the stars of the universe? Well, then go get you a book on astronomy. But if you want to know the bright and the morning star, get in the Bible. Hallelujah. If you want to know about the age of Iraq, get you a book on geology. But if you want to know the rock of ages, start reading your Bible. If you want to know about roses and lilies, go get you a book on botany. But if you want to know the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley, get in the Bible. Hallelujah. You'll find Jesus in the Bible. And so that's where this Ethiopian is. He's in the scriptures. And he's asking this question. Who is the prophet talking about? And oh, I love this. Did you catch it? Did you see that? What did Peter do? Excuse me, Philip. He opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Some of you all, y'all have told me this. And by the way, Anytime you're talking to me, I'm always looking for a sermon. But y'all, some of y'all have told me, well, Brother Cal, I just don't do well at this witness because I don't know what to say. Just jump on Jesus and head out. Anything, has he done anything for y'all?
Yes.
Has he?
Yes.
What was your life like before you knew Jesus? How did you receive Jesus? How did he become your Lord and Savior? Or maybe if you don't have a story like that to tell, you need Jesus. And what's he doing in your life now? You see, get your personal testimony together and just tell them about Jesus, what he's done for you. Nobody can argue with that. Hallelujah. And Dwight told you, just take you a track. A spiritual track. It's got all the verses in it. You don't even have to memorize any of them. And just roll through that track with them. Just give them Jesus. Just give them Jesus. How many of you know there's something about that name? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, there's something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus. Y'all are doing so good. The rain, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Hallelujah. Just give them Jesus. You do know him, don't you? You do know him, don't you?
Yes.
Just give them Jesus. Here's what happens next. This really gets good. And so, beginning at his scripture, preached Jesus to him. Verse 36, now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? And then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, if you believe, that's the key word there, faith, pistis, placing all of you into everything that he is, here's what happens. If you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Hallelujah. Now, this is more than head knowledge because even the demons believe that Jesus is the Son of God. It has to do with heart knowledge and surrendering your life to him. Are any of y'all mad and upset that you gave your life to Jesus? Greatest thing you'll ever do. And so the Ethiopian eunuch says, oh, aha! I've heard about these Holy Ghost baptisms. There's some water. Can I be baptized? And brothers and sisters, let me just say it like this. There's no 16-week baptismal courses in the New Testament. Pretty much, as soon as somebody gets saved, they're getting baptized. Not for their salvation, but as their profession of faith. That they belong to Jesus. Died with him, buried with him, raised with him. Hallelujah. And some of y'all here today need to be baptized. You need to be immersed. You belong to Christ and you maybe you came to Christ after your first baptism. Guess what? You need to get in the water. You need to get that baptism on the right side of the cross. Maybe some of you have been saved and you've never been baptized. Guess what you need to do? You need to be baptized. And I'm just the guy to take care of it for you. Hallelujah. Love to. We got a pool over here. We hadn't stirred these waters, Will. How long's it been? It's been too long. It's been too long. That's why we need to show up on these divine encounters that God gives us. Whew. Can't you see that scene? My goodness. Holy Ghost. Y'all, when y'all hear me say something like Holy Ghost, you know that it was really good. All right, look at verse 37. Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still. Stop the chariot! Stop the chariot right now! And look what they did. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water. You see, the reason they went down into the water is because that's how you get baptized. Not putting down any kind of christening or sprinkling or anything like that. I know that was meaningful. But if you want to be baptized like the way that Jesus was, we need to go down into the water. And he baptized him. Now, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Now, here's the deal. Picture this scene in your mind. They get down off the chariot. Philip and the Ethiopian get down in the water. And Philip says, based upon your profession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Mr. Ethiopian eunuch, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. And after Jesus was baptized, he went up straightway out of the water. And don't you know that Ethiopian eunuch jumped out of that water and started screaming, thank you, Jesus! Hallelujah! Y'all, at one of my former churches, every time we had a baptism, Diana can tell you this, the kids would all be sitting up front with these posters and cowbells and horns and all kinds of things. And they just go to, and then we'd always sing that old Hopper song. It's shouting time in heaven. A sinner once lost is found. Our baptisms ought to be a celebration. And that Ethiopian eunuch comes up out of the water and he's shaking it off. And he turns around to thank Philip, and Philip's gone. He's headed to another divine appointment. Couldn't wait to get to, and the word caught away is the same word Paul used for the rapture of the church. You want to get caught up in a glorious, rapturous experience, get busy sharing Jesus with people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And now Philip's gone on to share Jesus with some other folks. But the Bible says the Ethiopian eunuch is rejoicing. Well, I guess so. And he climbs up back in the chariot. And I mean, that chariot's even different. Those horses have got the Holy Ghost hot now. And they're going down the desert road. And don't you know that he must have seen a hitchhiker on the way down to Gaza. And I would imagine he stopped the chair and he said, hey, has anybody ever told you about the old story about how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch? Anybody ever told you that story? No. Come on up here. I bet you he put a sign on the back of that chariot, honk if you love Jesus. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, isn't it about time we started chasing some chariots? Come on now. Isn't it about time we start doing that? We've got divine appointments. God just puts them in your path every single day. And if we'll just get verbal. Oh, yeah. But you know what? Y'all live a good life. You don't have to worry about that part of it. You got the Spirit of God. Now, we make mistakes. I understand that. But what we need to do is get verbal. Open your mouth like he did and share Jesus with them. I'm sitting here looking at Brian Rush. This is one of the finest coaches in Montgomery County. But he's even better since he got saved. Hallelujah. How did he come to faith in Jesus Christ? This prompt soul winner. And we had a prepared center. And God used a powerful scripture. And I want to tell you, Brian is pouring Jesus into all those kids that he's coaching. You should have heard his witness and testimony at the FCA banquet last year. I'm just going to close with this. I could tell some other stories, but I'm 68 years old. I saw some of you gasp. You just couldn't believe that. But I want to finish my days being faithful as a soul winner. I want to share my... It's not my job to save people. That's God's job. But it's my job to share. And I want to share each and every day that I've got left with somebody. And you know what? God just keeps putting them in my path. Tuesday, I was witnessing to 10 little boys lined up out there in the hallway at Moore Magnet School. And five of them prayed to receive Christ. Hallelujah. Pat Fuller had four or five little girls out there. And she was sharing Jesus with them, and two of them got saved. Bruce, I didn't tell you this, but your plumbers that showed up at my house the other day, they did a great job. They fixed everything that was wrong. Adam and what was the other boy's name? Kyle, yeah. They were getting ready to leave. I said, wait a minute, guys. Y'all come back here. And they sat down in my study, and I said, I can't let y'all get out of here just yet. I said, I wouldn't be who I claim to be if I didn't ask you guys, do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Have you get and they both said yes. Well, I didn't let them get by with that. I said, tell me about it. And they both told me about it. You can't go to work for Bruce unless you're born again. I just thought about that, brother. Anyways, God will just keep bringing them to you. Just keep sharing your faith. I just want to be faithful until God comes to get me. I'm so thankful I was able to stand over a hospital bed yesterday with a buddy of mine that I've known for over 50 years. I was so thankful that Joe and I have talked about his salvation many times. And today, I know in my spirit that Joe is with Jesus. Been a rough weekend, tough weekend for me. But hallelujah, it's worth every minute serving Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, please forgive us. Forgive me for the appointments that you have set up on my calendar and I missed them. The divine appointments, because I was either too busy or didn't care or was on my way to do something else. God, help me to be obedient and observant, to be the kind of man I need to be. Because God, I know that I know that I know people need who I've got. And if you'll receive me, you'll receive anybody. So I pray today, God, there are lost people up in this church house, people who've never been changed by the power of Almighty God. They're religious, but they don't have a relationship. And there are many families in here that are represented, and you've got lost folks in your family. You got friends in your neighborhood that are lost. Co-workers, classmates. And God's waiting on you to be Jesus for them. And here's what I want. Here's what the invitation's all about. If you've got a lost person that you really need to see saved, maybe it's somebody you're kin to, I want to ask you in just a minute. Dwight told us in the witnessing class, you got to start praying for them. That's the most important step of soul winning. You got to pray for them. And I want to invite you to just come and lay that person before the altar here and just give that person to Jesus. Pray for them. And then I want you to ask God to give you the divine courage to put them in your path so that you could share Jesus with them. And if you do not know the Lord, this is the best time in your life to be saved, right now. And if you'll come and share with me or share with somebody, I need to be saved. We'll lead you through the scriptures just like Philip did this Ethiopian. And you can come to faith in Christ today. And I guarantee you, there's probably half a dozen or maybe a dozen of you that need baptism. What are you waiting on? You're going to stand before the Lord one day. Oh, God, help us. Give us the courage. Give us the strength and the wisdom that we need from heaven. I ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Please stand quietly and reverently. Nobody leaving, nobody looking around. Most important time, you come right now. Step out and come to this altar, this old-fashioned place to meet God. You come. Deacons, counselors, y'all be ready.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.